Good morning, everybody. It is November 22nd, 2021, coming up on the American Thanksgiving holiday here in 4 days. Oh, I can't wait. It is great to live in a small town around Thanksgiving. You know, everybody, we're getting ready for our academic tournaments that we do, that I do. I'm still coaching all the kids in the academic tournaments, even though I'm not in the classroom this year. And last night I was over in some kid's garage going over how to build the catapults, how to make them hit their targets every time, how to transfer your catapult into a trebuchet. And I was thinking that that's really what Thanksgiving is all about, right? Hanging out in the garage with friends. My daughter was there, working together, playing together, and I was pretty thankful to be there. It's also about food, right? Oh, we got tons of food coming in on Thursday. We don't cook, but we are getting tons and tons of food and cakes. Got a big dinner planned for Thursday. We will see. Of course, not counting on the Lions to win. I grew up in Michigan. I know how the Lions go, but it'll be fun anyway. Now, today we're talking about esports. Much more pleasant topic than football for me, usually on Thanksgiving weekend, right? Because, of course, the Lions were guaranteed to disappoint. And my mighty Wolverines, wonderful Wolverines. Now, it's great the Wolverines have done so well this year, but oof, it's not looking good this weekend against Ohio State. Now, esports, though. Esports, lots of fun to watch. If you're not a fan of esports already, go out and pick a sport and start getting into it. You know why? You don't have to worry about the referees. The referees are not going to blow you the game. There's not going to be any phantom touchdown with Charles White like in USC in 1970. When was that? 78, 77, somewhere around there. None of that. None of that. You're not going to have to worry about injuries. Right? You're not going to have to worry about, I mean, injuries can happen, right? But for the most part, you're not going to have people tearing ACLs left and right and finishing your team like Minnesota's college team finishing with running backs and still managing to win, but finishing with running backs that weren't even on the roster practically at the beginning of the year. So, yeah. Big, big shout out to esports for not having to worry about injuries nearly as much and for not having to worry about the referees making terrible calls. And also, you don't have to worry about LeBron James elbowing you in the face. Oh, yeah. I'm calling you out, King James. Did you guys see that last night? Last night, Sunday night in the Palace, of course, where all violent activity in the NFL seems to happen. The Palace in Detroit, my team, the Pistons, were Isaiah Stewart on the receiving end of a horrific blow from LeBron James. Heating up the old Cleveland-Detroit rivalry, maybe. I don't know. I mean, obviously he's out in L.A., but he's still a Cleveland kid. You know that. He knows that. And Detroit and Cleveland, not always the best blood. And LeBron drawn a lot of blood last night. So no blood. No blood in esports. Just digital blood. Now, we're talking about how big are esports, which countries are dominating. Well, esports are pretty big. Last year, they passed a billion in revenue worldwide. Next year, projected by Newzoo to be almost 2 billion, 1.78, almost 1.8 billion next year. Now, Newzoo, of course, is a giant games data aggregator. And this is quite the prediction. Basically, you're talking about doubling the market size in just 2 years, the worldwide revenue. So how much money is this, to put it in perspective? Well, and how do they make their money? First of all, if you're not sure how they make their money, it's ads, it's sponsorship, right? 70% of the esports revenue, right, in the mid $1 billion this year, projected to be almost $2 billion next year. 70% of the revenue is from ads and sponsorships, and of course the sponsorships are into it for the ads. It's like when Grassley asked Zuckerberg. Remember, Zuckerberg goes down to Congress and Grassley, he's so out of it. He's so old and out of touch. He was like, well, how do you make money if your website is free? And Zuckerberg deadpans, Senator, we run ads, right? That's esports too, right? They run ads. They are advertising. In fact, Riot Games, which has League of Legends, which is the number one streamed esport, number one streamed anything on Twitch, number one streamed game on Twitch, and Riot runs their esports division basically at a loss. They run it basically at a loss to Riot because it's worth it in terms of, one, developing it for the future, but also because, and you don't want to get left behind. You don't want to miss out on that. And also, you know, they see it as an investment towards the advertising, towards generating revenue from other streams. So, yeah, 1 billion last year passed, mid 1 billions, almost 1.8 billion next year. 70% of it's from ads and sponsorships. Where are we looking here? Well, the Asian Pacific market is about 55% is Asia Pacific. Now that's, you know, largely Japan, South Korea, China, those areas, not necessarily India. We'll get to India in just one second. And Russia would be considered part of Europe in this, obviously, even though, you know, Russia stretches way over there. Russia's so wide that as the sun is setting in the east, it rises on the other side of the country, right? So amazing. Kamchatka Peninsula out there, no Sakhalin Islands over in Japan, but still most of Russia's population in Russia by heritage and even in esports considered to be European. So 57-55% of the market Asian. And then the U.S., so that's like around 580 million this year. U.S. next biggest market, 350 million or so. Europe after that, down around 150 million, maybe 200 million in revenue. And if you want to compare that to physical sports, right? NBA worldwide, 8 billion, maybe 9 billion. NFL, biggest single league worldwide, 12 billion in revenue. All soccer worldwide, if you combine all the soccer worldwide or football, if you want all the different soccer leagues worldwide, that's bigger than NFL, of course. That's up around over 20 billion from all the soccer leagues. It's 8 billion revenue from the Premiership in England, Premier League, 5 billion from the Bundesliga. The Champions League alone is really like 2 billion in revenue just from the Champions League, which I thought was very interesting. So that's way over 20 or significantly over 20 billion, but on par really with just the American leagues. If you add up NBA, MLB, which is also around 9 billion in NFL, you're getting up there around soccer's revenue. They're about equal, which is interesting. So where does that fit in with esports? If you consider all of esports to be one league, it fits in right around with Major League Soccer, around 1 billion. The Big Ten College Football Conference is right around $1 billion. So that's where esports is. If you believe that it's going to grow, as Nuzu predicts, then you're going to pass the Japanese Baseball League, which is like $1.5 billion in revenue per year, and you'd be up around Formula One. Formula One per year, $2 billion in revenue. So like I said, what's missing here, very conspicuously missing, is India. Right? Do they not play esports in India? We'll get to which countries are dominating, but spoiler alert, it is not India. What's going on? What's going on over there in India, right? Second most populous country in the world, and they're the country that really has zero esports presence. Everybody always says, oh, where are the Americans in esports? And we'll get to that in a second, but the real question is, where are the Indians in esports? Right? And you could ask the same about the Olympics. You really don't see India represented as much as it could be based on population in the Olympics. And they're, if anything, they're even less in esports. So if you go to the Hindu, love the Hindu, great website. If you go to the Hindu, there's actually a new league forming this fall right now. and they're going to play Valorant, FIFA 21, chess, and some other games that nobody's ever heard of. And the prize pool is 5 lakh rupees. Now, if you're familiar with the numbering system, right, in India, 5 lakh rupees, lakh, it's a really interesting number system, right? It goes up to hundreds, right, with 3 decimals, and then it goes thousands and ten thousands, and then it goes lakh and tens of lakhs, and then it goes crores and tens of crores. So you're used to hearing about crore rupees if you follow Bollywood at all. So lakh rupees, when you see that, you're like, that's probably not a whole lot. So 5 lakh rupees, that's five. So it goes, you know, hundreds and then thousands and then tens of thousands and then a comma and then your first lakh digit, your second lakh digit. So 5 lakh rupees, that's 500,000 rupees. And if you convert that to U.S. dollars, 5 lakh rupees, well, I mean, like I said, you're used to crores when you see Bollywood number and crores, right, are 10 million and 100 million, and we're just at 5 lakh. So 5 lakh is 500,000, right? 10 lakh would be a million, 1 crore would be 10 million. So 5 lakh is 500,000 rupees. That's like 8,000 bucks, 7,000 bucks. And if you're not familiar with esports, well, like Luka Perkovic of my beloved Cloud9 was brought over from Croatia to play for Cloud9. He's just one of 5 starters on a League of Legends team. And his salary or his contract was for almost $3 million, like $2.7 million U.S. dollars. And so we're talking $7,000 for the prize pool for this new Indian e-gaming league. Yeah, that's not a whole lot. That's not going to really develop your talent. And I guess that's why you're not seeing a whole lot of Indian talent come out there. It has to be there. It has to be there. But not getting developed, I guess. Huh. It's interesting, right? Because the Indian talent in physics, or at least some of it, has been able to, even back in the day, was able to come out of India, right? Chandrasekhar and Raja and all these other people. And then, I don't know, where's the gaming talent and why isn't it making out of India? That's the real question here. Now, you want to talk, like I said, contract sizes in US, perks with this giant contract, other people too. Perks is not alone. And then, you know, top 5 U.S. franchises, TSM, worth about $400 million. Cloud9, $350 million. These are the valuations, not their revenue per year. Team Liquid, $310 million. FaZe Clan, $300 million. 100 Thieves, $200 million. Now, 100 Thieves is really interesting, right? Because 100 Thieves is a lifestyle brand company. Very interesting. Just a lifestyle company that often made fun of as a clothing company. That seems to be how they express their lifestyle. I guess that is a lifestyle. But they also have very successful. I think they won the regular season in League of Legends in America last year in the North American League. And then they did not do too badly over in the Worlds this year. They almost made it to quarterfinals. They really didn't acquit themselves too poorly at all. And of course, Abadaga, their star, so to speak, he's German, not American, but still an American franchise owned, by the way, by some really interesting people, 100 Thieves. Dan Gilbert, right, who's big Cleveland, speaking Cleveland and LeBron James. Dan Gilbert is the guy who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers and wrote that jilted lover letter to LeBron James in Comic Sans, no less. Can you imagine an executive writing an important letter in Comic Sans? He wrote that mad letter to LeBron once LeBron decided to leave Ohio. He wrote it to him in Comic Sans. Unbelievable. Drake and Scooter Braun, also with Dan Gilbert in owning 100 Thieves, right? Drake, Canadian rapper. Everybody knows Drake. Why am I even describing him as a Canadian rapper? He's best described as Jimmy from Degrassi, right? Yeah, obviously. Love Drake and Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun, Taylor Swift's great nemesis, Scooter. So esports, you know, not small. Coming up on Formula One size, if you take all the different leagues and all the different esports together. That is not puny, $2 billion in revenue per year. Now, which countries are dominating? Well, a lot of people will say, you know, that, oh, it's all about South Korea. It's unbelievable, South Korea. And it's true, they do great, and pound for pound or per capita, yeah, got to hit it to the South Koreans. But let's take a step back here and let's look at the big picture. So first of all, the number one streamed game on Twitch is League of Legends. This was created by the American company Riot, of course. I'm just giving some basics for people. I suspect that a lot of people are not too up on the details of esports here. So yeah, created by American company Riot, then bought out, or at least a controlling interest, bought by Chinese giant Tencent. So technically, Riot still runs the game. People into the game still talk about Riot and Rito, please. But Tencent calls any shot that they want to when it comes to League of Legends these days. But here's the thing. League of Legends is not so far out in front. It's nothing like an order of magnitude ahead of everything else. There are plenty of other very popular and highly streamed games on Twitch. And even though it is true that the Chinese and South Korean teams dominate League of Legends, European and American leagues are definitely third and fourth best, by the way, in League of Legends, or fourth and third best. The Americans did slightly better than the Europeans at this year's World Championships. But there are plenty of other sports out there, esports out there, that are huge in terms of streams, in terms of revenue, in terms of prize money, and in terms of salaries for the players. Because it's not just about the prize money. The salaries can be much, much, much larger than the prize money on certain teams. And those, you do not see South Korea and China dominating at all, right? American audiences, Fortnite might be the most familiar to people who are not into the esports world. Fortnite does have an esports presence, and I don't believe, or I know, Fortnite hasn't really had its premier world championship the last 2 years due to COVID. But in 2019, first place was $3 million, and it went to an American. Top finisher was an American there. In fact, the top three finishers in the Fortnite 2019 tournament were all Americans. And again, not a small tournament, not a small game. And if you can trust Statista, the most professional esports players, just by numbers, are in the United States. People that report, you know, their job, their vocation. Wow, we have the Newfie making an appearance on the podcast today here, and I'm gonna have to go take care of her. We got some Adirondack action going on out back, and she needs to be there. I'll be right back. All right. Yeah, so my dog's out back now. She's over 100 pounds now, so just figuring she can take care of herself out there. And hopefully she knows to not bite off more than she can chew. Never know what you're going to find out there. I guess I worry about the coyotes a little bit, but you know, life is not free of risk. So, if you can trust Statista, you do have those the greatest number of professional esports players in the United States. And if you look at other tournaments, so Fortnite, like I was saying, American, finishing first place, top three finishers of the last Fortnite World Championship, all American. You look at CSGO, right? Counter-Strike Global Offensive from Valve, and you see Danish teams winning that the last couple of years world championships, the majors for CSGO. Danish teams winning a couple of US teams in the last 5 or 6 years, a Russian team also. You don't see any South Korean teams or any Chinese teams there, and CSGO is hugely popular. CSGO is a big game out there. Same company as Steam, right? Valve, if you know Steam, if you've heard of Steam. Then you can look at Dota, right? It's not just first-person shooters like CSGO or Battle Royales like Fortnite, but also Dota, right? Even Dota 2, and it's a MOBA. And if you look at the international, an American team won the championship in 2015, and EU teams, European teams, the next 3 years, right? And then canceled in 2020, and a Russian team, I believe, was Dota 2 champions in 2021. So even that MOBA right there, not dominated by South Korea or China. Call of Duty 2 or 3, last world championships, American, one European. You don't see any Asian champions there. Look at Smash Brothers, right, which is the most popular fighting game here in the United States, at least. And it has a huge, huge global following. Also big championships. It's at Evo. It's everywhere. You look at Smash Brothers outside of Zachary. He's, if I look at Panda's rankings, Zachary's like number 7 in the world, and then the number 11 players from Japan. But you don't see, it's dominated by North American players, right? Mexican, Leo, best player in the world is Mexican, and then tons of American, United States American players in the top 10, really dominating there. And if you look at Evo, the person with the most lifetime wins is from the United States, right? I think that's Jay Wong. He's got, I think, 9 championships overall. So that's the United States right there. And if you keep going, if you look at the history, it's not just recent, right? Mewtwo King Jason Zimmerman back in the day, he's like the Faker of Smash. He dominated back in the day. And then nowadays, Tweak, other people like that seem to be capturing the Smash market. And even, broader Evo Championship Series, like I said, number 1 and number 4 on the all-time Evo Championships, all fighting games now. That's American, Jaewoong and Sonic Fox. South Korean in 2nd place, Japanese player in 3rd place for overall lifetime championships there. But, if you look at this, what my point is that the evidence isn't there to support the contention that the Americans are underrepresented in esports. The evidence is also not there to support the contention that it is completely dominated by South Korea and China. I think maybe League of Legends and StarCraft, because StarCraft was like the first big giant esports game, and it started in South Korea, and much credit to them for that. Great RTS StarCraft, loved is StarCraft. And great lesson there. Blizzard should have just stuck with StarCraft, right? And kept iterating on that instead of coming out with StarCraft 2. Oof, mistake right there. Splitting the market, losing attention, everything else. Kind of like Dungeons & Dragons with 4th edition there. Anyway, you could look at Overwatch 2. By the way, if you go to literallyunplayable.com, it goes to Overwatch. I love that. literallyunplayable.com, straight to Overwatch. The first 3 championships were won by South Korea, but the last one was won by the United States, right? The World Cup, the U.S. team won the World Cup in Overwatch last time it was run. And then I think this year or last year, San Francisco Shock won the Overwatch championships, club championships. And granted, there were 3 South Korean players on the team, but there were also 2 Americans. Rainbow Six seems to be just about all Americans, right? Certainly the most recent championship was dominated by Americans. So I'm just not buying that America's lagging far behind. And I'm really not buying that South Korea and China are just running away with this. This is not the hypersonic missile test. This is esports, and China is not running away with it. I'm not sure that I should really be laughing about that hypersonic missile test. We should talk about that again here in the podcast. That is troubling, and I really, 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 really wonder if the United States defense industry isn't rotten at its core, just like the CDC was and FDA is, and they've been completely exposed. You wonder if that's going to happen, if that's going to be the case in the next war with the U.S. Department of Defense. One sure hopes not, but one does wonder. So then, if you look at esportsearnings.com, and this is just based on prize money, it doesn't include salaries, doesn't include anything else, sponsorship ads, anything like that, just prize money. The U.S. is actually way ahead in prize money on esportsearning.com, which aggregates all of the esports earnings, as the name would say. U.S. is at 180 million, China at 150 million, South Korea at 110 million. Then way down there, down to Russia, the next closest at 50 million. And that's just in prize money. So not at all American underrepresentation in just prize money, just purse money there. And it could be a little distorted too, because remember, when you're talking about prize money for a club team, that club team might be based in America, but it might have, you know, three out of the five players from South Korea. And but that's the American way, isn't it? That's one of the things that makes America so amazing, is that that's American. We count that as American because at least at one point we actually believed in immigration and bringing other people into here. So that's the situation, and we're going to get to my own personal rankings and a mini e-Olympics here in a second. But what forces are at play here? A lot of people wonder, for example, what forces are keeping Japan out of the world esports scene, because they look at it and they say, well, Japan basically invented the fighting game genre. Japan has Nintendo. Japan has Sony PlayStation, two of the biggest three consoles out there. So Xbox being the third. So why doesn't Japan, you know, have two out of every three esports players out there? Well, because making consoles and playing esports are two different things, two very different things. And Japan really is not underrepresented, right? The Japanese LPL team, that's their League of Legends team, their best team, Detonation Focus Me, they're like the Yankees or the Canadiens in hockey or the Yankees in baseball. DFM, they do about how you would expect. They're not terrible. Detonation Focus Me shows up at Worlds. They show up at MSIs and League of Legends. And, you know, they do all right. They get some wins. They're not dominating. But you look at the last Olympics, right? There were 339 medals. Japan happened to host that one. And Japan was like in third place or fourth place at the overall medal count. I think maybe third place. They had, out of 339 medals, Japan got a medal in 58 of them, so 17%, and they had 27 golds, so like 8%. And, you know, if you look at fighting games where Japan has two of the top 10 players or top 11 players, I mean, yeah, that's like 20%. That's right in that area. You look at DFM in League of Legends, and you think, okay, maybe they're not the third best team in the world, the fourth place team in the world, but down around that 17%, 8% number of wins being given to Detonation Focus Me in a big major international tournament, yeah, it seems about right. If you had a national team right across all the esports, would Japan be in the top three? No. No, definitely not. But top 10, yeah, absolutely. And we'll do that in a second. So, you know, if you look in terms of prize money, like we had it there, United States, China, South Korea, then way down to Russia and the other European teams. But if you look at performance, right, let's think about it. Let's think about it. Let's go ahead and do our e-Olympics right now. If there were this theoretical event called the e-Olympics, and like in the Olympics, you took all the different sports and you put them all together and you tallied up their medals to see. So you've got, you know, the sprints that have nothing to do with the discus, and the discus has nothing to do with the equestrian sports, and the equestrian sports have nothing to do with the swimming sports, although they should, right? Horse diving used to be a thing. Horse diving, Wild at Heart, you ever see that movie about the girl who blows her eyes out falling down on a horse into the plunging pool? There is still in the Adirondacks, at least up until a couple years ago, there was still a diving horse that you could see at one of the amusement parks up here, one of the old amusement parks. I think, unfortunately, they might have stopped now. But I think it might still be going, too, down in Glens Falls. Anyway, so that'd be great if they combined equestrian and aquatic sports in the Olympics. You guys should do that. Somebody will give them a bribe, and they'll definitely do it. The IOC is up there in the top three most corrupt sports institutions out there, right? IOC, NCAA, and FIFA. Corruption is their middle name. When the NCAA is the least corrupt out of three things, you know that you are in bad shape. Anyway, so it's this is going to be a little subjective, our E-Olympics here, because you never know how many medals they would give to League of Legends, how many medals, you know, would they give to CSGO, how many medals would they give to Rainbow Six. It's hard to say. Like in the Olympics, do you include power walking? They have before. Do you include synchronized gymnastics or like that rhythmic gymnastics with the twirly ribbon thing going on? Oh, yeah. So it's a little subjective. It's hard to say how many medals would be given to which different events. But we'll do our best. So let's imagine that there are 339 different medals to be given out across all of these sports. How would the countries finish overall? Well, let's look at spots 6 through 10. I'm not going to differentiate these too much, but 6 through 10, I think the countries that you are looking at for those overall medal standings, you would be looking at Vietnam, Brazil, Germany, Spain, maybe the UK. I think you're looking at those countries, right? Brazil, you don't want to underestimate Brazil. Right? Even if they really love Yasuo, for some reason, my God, you look at the champions in League of Legends played in Brazil right now, and Yasuo is more than like Vi or Jinx or Jace, even right now with Arcane coming out, tremendous hit series on Netflix, right, based in the League of Legends universe. And so Vi's play rate, Jinx's play rate, Jace's play rate have skyrocketed. And down in Brazil, they're still playing Yasuo. God bless them. God bless them. But yeah, they're not bad, right? The Brazil presence is not horrible across all different kinds of esports. Smite is big down there, and not to be overestimated. And Vietnam, right? Vietnam had some issues with players transgressing some of the rules in the leagues this year, but Vietnam actually has a pretty strong esports game as well. Germany, Spain, United Kingdom. Not putting these in any order, but they do have a lot of players and a lot of decent players. Now let's get into the top five. Number five, Russia. Russia, strong e-gaming in Russia. Unicorns of Love, man. Unicorns of Love, great team, league team. A lot of people rooting for them. Kind of a Western team, but this year they played over in Russia. Basically, they're the Edward Snowden of League, and that helps you get stronger, right? That helps you get a lot stronger. Number four, got to be Denmark. Crazy good at CSGO. Great league players. Just super good overall. Danish assassins, Danish snipers. Tremendous talent over in Copenhagen. Somewhere Niels Bohr is in the beer garden there raising a mug in your honor. Now, let's go into top three. On the podium, so to speak, on the podium at the E-Olympics for the overall countries. Well, number three, I got to say South Korea. Look, per capita, definitely they are number one. Not as dominant as a lot of people outside of the esports field would say, and I think I've shown that. But per capita, yeah, they would be number one. They're five or six times smaller than the U.S. as a country, 60 million versus like 330 million, and they're 20 times smaller than Japan, right? But just based on the numbers, they're not going to be higher, right? That's per capita. In absolute terms, I don't think that they would go higher than third place because of who's in two and one. Now, number two and one, China and the U.S. What order would they go in? It's hard to say. It depends on the pick of games. If you pick fighting games like Smash, you got to give it to the U.S. If you choose shooters, probably the U.S. also. If you choose MOBAs like League of Legends, then I don't know, man. Dota 2, U.S. is okay in Dota 2, but probably still, if you choose MOBAs like that, probably got to give it to China. It would be tough. Overall, though, I'm going to say by a hair, probably China in second, U.S. in first, right? Because the U.S. would get trashed in League and in StarCraft, but in many other games, right? Fortnite, Call of Duty, CSGO, the United States more than holds their own. Top earnings show it. So I would put the U.S. by a hair in first place, just like the last Summer Olympics, in other words, really just like the last Summer Olympics. So maybe esports aren't that different from regular sports in that respect, but they are very different in the respect that you don't have to worry about referees. You don't have to worry about the tremendous number of injuries. You don't have to worry about Pulisic getting a hamstring or an ankle or COVID or any of the myriad of misfortunes that poor Mr. Pulisic seems to be suffering from constantly, year after year after year. But hey, hey, at least he isn't taking the Stu Holden route. Oh, sorry, U.S. men's national team fans. Sorry to bring up the memory of Stu. Love you, Stu. Stu had a great Twitter handle, too. No holding back. Gotta love that. Gotta appreciate that. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for our esports summary today. I hope that I have made the case that even though the number one esport in the world, esport game League of Legends, is indeed dominated by South Korea and China, it's really not that far ahead of all the other games behind it. And those other games are certainly not dominated by South Korea and China. And the Americans hold their own. And if you're not familiar with the Denmark coming out of Europe, man, Denmark has done super well in esports. And whither India? Where is India? Maybe they're just over there playing kabaddi. I don't know. And if you don't know kabaddi, though, oh my gosh, kabaddi's in some of my novels. But if you don't know kabaddi, holy cow, you need to go read about kabaddi. It's a great game. You just try to hold hands and tag each other or tackle each other when you send raiders across the line into the other guy's territory. And that's not it. That's it. Nothing more. Just hold hands, send a raider in. You don't need a ball. You don't need a net. You don't need all kinds of things. Just play kabaddi with your body in a line in the sand. I love it. There is a pro kabaddi league over in India. Okay, folks, that's going to be it for today. Find me on Twitter, 80K Homeroom. Find me on Reddit, 80K Homeroom. Give me that feedback. Remember to subscribe, please. Take care.